Yeah, welcome right. to Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and our full hour flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show. This is the only show that we're going to be doing it for this week because the other show that we normally do it is on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, which of course it's on Fridays between 2 o'clock and 2:30. However, due to the Red Gem Slam Society, Red Gem Slam special that is going to take place tomorrow from 1 to 5, we're just going to be doing this hour show only. That's it.
Yeah, we're preempted for tomorrow.
Yes, and that's Michael Rubin there across from me. So, how are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing really well. It's been a pretty awesome couple of days. Just a quick update. Remember our friend Marie Kern? Tales of
the Mithril.
She might get picked up by 20th Century Fox.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, yay. Congratulations to Marie. Yay. So, and we have a guest here today.
Yes, we do. The only guest for this week.
The only guest for this week, yes.
Yes.
And we'll see what happens for next week. But anyway, Gemma Jackson, she is an artist. Author of the book Fibro Success, Fibromyalgia Explained, Managed, and Eliminated. And it says here, I'll just read the whole front cover here. One woman's journey to find a solution to help doctors and patients for anyone suffering depression or long-term illness. And Gemma Jackson, you also have some pretty long letters behind your name here, too.
Yes, I do, yes. Thank you for the introduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a cardiac tech as well. Okay. I've got my BSc.
So you know how the heart works.
Yeah, I know how the heart and the body works, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so and I've got my BSc in agriculture from UBC.
Nice.
So, and my international license as a cardiac tech, too.
Wow.
So bravo.
That's why all the initials.
Yeah, that's like, there's a bunch of initials.
I guess I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. we hope that's what the initials mean, right?
We hope.
Yeah. So, I've met you over the phone. It was just a few days ago, and the book seemed really important because one of our groups of friends is the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation in Langley, which they're looking to do. Cheryl's going to do that walk from Langley, BC to Banff, Alberta.
Yeah.
That should be quite the undertaking for her.
Yeah. For fibromyalgia awareness, right?
Yeah, for awareness. Yeah. That and other hidden disorders and diseases.
Yeah.
So, why don't we get a little bit about your story? Let's start there. Because there's always life before fibromyalgia and then life after you start showing symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. So what was life like before fibromyalgia?
So before fibromyalgia, I was, a normal kind of kid and went to school, went in my 20s to UBC for agriculture, took a full load of 6 courses and whatnot, and, went swimming, hiking, volunteering, and golf and whatnot. And then in my 20s, actually, I fell very ill. And I finished my degree, Bachelor of Science in Agriculture. And then I was going to move on to be a doctor. So I took a year off and went and lived in Whistler. And I went up and down the mountain. I was dispatched for Whistler for a year. And I loved living there. But I came back after about a year with some symptoms. I didn't feel well. So that carried me on a journey for about 4 years looking for what ailed me. And eventually, when I was 29, between 26 and 29, I was searching for answers. They diagnosed me with chronic fatigue syndrome at the time. They weren't going to run any tests. Mm-hmm. As I went to doctors, emergency departments and whatnot with symptoms of the heart, dizzy, fatigued, shortness of breath, they just wrote me off as anxious. So they kept sending me away. I looked too good to them. So finally, I had a long interview with a specialist who actually had a model of a heart on her desk, and she diagnosed me after about 2 hours of talking with chronic fatigue syndrome and says, we're not going to do anything for you. We're spending money on heart patients. So she kind of sent me away. And in the process of that, I was crying and I was upset because I knew it was something serious. And a doctor took me into his office, and he talked to me about it and said, if you're tired, could be your heart. Let's take a picture of it. So at 29, they took a picture of it, an echo, and I got in line for that. And then they discovered I had a hole in my heart.
Oh.
So, yeah, and I needed life-saving heart, open-heart surgery. They gave me a year to live without it. So that was at 29. So I went ahead and had the open-heart surgery 1 week under a year at Christmas. And then a lot of my symptoms after that went away of this chronic fatigue stuff. But I did look into it in my 20s because they stated that. And I was feeling those symptoms of tired and fatigue and dizzy and foggy brain. And then, so as I went on with my heart, I went on with art because I thought I was too old to become a doctor, of course. So I went and pursued my art for a while, which was okay.
It's funny how we tell ourselves these little stories, right?
Age doesn't matter, but it did. When you're 30, I guess it matters. So anyway, I carried on with my life as normal and did art for about 10 years. Felt better. Went in to do an echo one day, and the technologist impressed me so much that I wanted to become a cardiac tech as well. I wanted to go back to the science end of things because I have a science and an art mind. And so I was inspired to go to school and do that. And that was about year 2007. And I was about in my 40s, early 40s, about 40. And then I did that schooling. And through the stress, I came down with hypothyroidism. Okay. And my diet was off as a student. I was able to go to school, you know, put in a full day, commute for an hour and a half each way. I did a lot of studying on the SkyTrain. And I became top of the class as a cardiac tech. So before fibromyalgia, I did quite well. And that's just a synopsis of things. Yeah. And then where it hit me was I finished up in around December 2009 with my cardiac diploma. And I had to write exams. It was about 2010 that I fell ill with fibromyalgia pretty bad. And more or less for a couple of years it had me, 2010 and 2011. And it was about 2012 that I discovered what worked and what hadn't and helped myself.
Yeah. So what symptoms finally led to a diagnosis?
So I had these symptoms of fatigue, extreme body pain. I was very, very tired. I had a foggy brain. I couldn't think for writing my exams. Depression was kicking in. I was sensitive to everything, felt like I was allergic to everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt isolated. Nobody saw it. I went to my doctor and said, I think I have dementia because I was really worried about my brain not working. And he laughed at me and said, you know, you're too young for that. And more or less, you know, just kind of chuckled at me. And I was like, but it feels like it. Because with fibromyalgia, you really get a foggy brain. I didn't attach a lot of what works at that time. I was looking and searching for solutions, but not avidly. I just knew something was wrong, and the symptoms were severe. So bad in January 2011 that I was lying in bed for a couple of weeks just in extreme pain, and I was ready to write my will. I thought I was dying and I had cancer and that I didn't have much time to live. It was just horrific how I felt. And you can barely get up to even brush your teeth, have a shower, look after yourself. It's really debilitating.
Yeah.
So when I went to my doctor, they diagnosed me. The doctor diagnosed me with fibromyalgia, what they knew. And then basically the doctors just say it's either all in your head or they say there's nothing we can do for you. They give you a couple Tylenol and send you home.
The funny part about that, I was at a recent talk about fibromyalgia, and a doctor who actually specializes in fibromyalgia, and there's two other related diseases that I can't remember right off the top of my head. I don't have the information in front of me. But it turned out that there is a chemical in your brain that... So it is in your brain. Yeah. It turned out it was like, okay, yeah, it is, but not in the matter that they're obviously saying.
Well, they like to send you to a therapist is what they like to do. That's what they mean. It's all in your head. But yeah, really, the psychotherapist, what they're finding is it's actually a physicality in the brain. I talk in my book about the amygdala, and it is actually very key to your fight and flight system. Mm-hmm. And it's very key to reacting to stress. Stress is really detrimental to people with fibromyalgia. They'll find that they'll have good days and bad days, and after a couple of good days, it'll be followed by about a week of bad days. And things get overwhelming with stress. Even the littlest stressors really bother you and make things worse, the symptoms. So mm-hmm. in my book, I talk a lot about stress and anxiety and depression and energy. I talk about the amygdala being partially to blame in that its physicality is a little bit off. With fibromyalgia, there's an umbrella, and it has specific diseases under it, like vitamin deficiency, toxicity, immunity problems, arthritis, allergies, trauma. It could be your accidents or even right. viral. So the umbrella of being diagnosed with fibromyalgia, it covers a lot of different illnesses, it seems. Mm-hmm. My book will help probably, I suspect, only about 25 to maybe 50% of these people. My book focuses on a lot of diet and nutrition and healing the physicality of the body along with the mind. The amygdala is very important. It perceives, and it's all about perception too, how you perceive danger or stress. So in my book, I talk a lot about the mind and perceptions and how to think more positively while you're healing the body physically. And the amygdala will react and overreact, and it sends these hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and noradrenaline throughout right. the body. And that affects the hormones that are sent throughout the body as well. And in your fight or flight, your stomach and your systems will shut down because it's trying to give all your energy to run away from the beast. Like back in the olden days when the fight and flight system was developed for running away from dinosaurs. So all the systems kind of shut down and allow you for that energy to run away. So when you react to stress, it does affect all the bodily systems in that way. And I talk about what the amygdala is missing. And there's a lot of drugs that they're trying to come up with to solve that problem of it being all in the head, physicality of the brain, the amygdala. It sits in about the lower middle part of the brain on the top of the limbic system.
Yeah.
And when it's triggered, it'll send out a sensation throughout the whole nervous system. And that's what makes it painful to touch as well.
And so it is actually in this, in those centers of the nervous system that excrete the hormones, and it's right in, it's part of the brain is right near all those areas that excrete the stress hormones to begin with. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's part of it because the body works as a whole unit. My book talks about mind, body, spirit. It's that kind of approach. So as the mind gets triggered due to stress, it affects the body physically and also how, what we perceive as stress and how we think about things. So the amygdala is damaged. It needs repair. And I talk about what repairs it, what helps to. Meanwhile, they're trying to come up with drugs that do this, like Lyrica and whatnot. And the drug companies are working on about four different drugs right now, which are going to help fibromyalgia because it's a big moneymaker. And in my book, I don't push drugs very much. I don't agree with them. They have side effects. And there's a lot of stuff you can do naturally. Like in fibromyalgia, what I've discovered is there's majorly vitamin and mineral deficiencies, and the gut is ruined. Your gut makes about 90% of your serotonin, and it's about 70 to 90% of the immune system. If you don't have a properly working gut, you're not going to have a proper brain or body. And this is what partly leads to depression. They're finding probiotics with the gut really helps depression.
Right. So, because we were in the second half of this interview, we really want to dive into that and look at it a little more closer. So why did you, what happened in your story that caused you to actually write the book?
Oh, so what caused me to write the book is I was working on some legal issues, and I wrote about 80 pieces of paper for this lawyer, and I thought, wow, that, you know, I could be writing a book. And I had just recovered from fibro, and I thought, I'm going to write myself a fibro book for people. Even if it just helps one person, it'll make it worth it. And it took me 5 years to write. So from about 2010, I was penning and journaling all my what worked, what didn't, and how I resolved things, adding things, taking away. And so from 2010 to 2015, this is the result of a book right now, which is about 290 pages. It's a mind-body-spirit approach, as I mentioned. I believe, as researchers are finding, that the mental is very attached to the physical. So what led me to write the book is I thought, well, you know, it can be pretty easy. I didn't realize the work involved, so I was kind of naive. But I was writing so much, and I'm not a great writer. I'm not an acclaimed writer nor a doctor. So I just realized that I knew what solved fibromyalgia, and I had to get the answers out for people to help them. So,
great. We're going to have to go to a break in a second, but I am going to get this information out here. So you're going to have a pre-book launch scheduled here at UBC June 25th?
Yeah, 1 week away.
Yeah, and that's from 3:45 to 6:45 p.m. at the Robert H. Lee Alumni Center.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the new alumni center they've built on University Boulevard.
Right, okay. So,
and there'll be music door prizes and book giveaways. Yeah. And
you are prepared to give away a book today, and we'll get details on how people can get that book when we get back from the break.
Okay. We'll be back. This is a Community Living Show.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live bands, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
And we're back on Community Living Show here on the NCR Radio Networks. I'm Kelly, and this is Michael, and our guest is Gemma Jackson.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you again.
Thank you very much.
So
thanks for having me.
Let's first take care of a little business here. Shall we say the first person to email us with the words book giveaway will get the book that I'm holding right here in my hands. So you can actually hear I'm holding a book.
Yeah, and before you say that, last week's winner, we had another book giveaway.
Yes. Last week's winner, do you have that?
I don't know. I mean, I did have the email on me, but I don't seem to have our email address yet popped up. Do you know?
But it is that book is going in the mail today.
That's
to
good.
Him. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
So but at least we got a winner from that one.
Yeah, we did get a winner.
And they're enjoying the book, hopefully, by mail.
Yeah.
Good. All right. So now we have how many? So you have how many books you have so far to wanting, hopefully, to give away?
I'd like to give away about 5 today.
All right.
Also, if you go to fibrosuccess.com and RSVP for my book launch, which is next week on the 25th, you can be entered into a draw to win a free book as well.
There you go.
Okay. Awesome.
And you can also email us anytime, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. That's our email address. We can, if you want to include your name and stuff, we will forward it to you, Gemma, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, certainly.
All right.
All right. Cool. So we were talking about the brain function, body functions, things like that, and on page 28 of the book, I guess it's like paragraph 2, I'll read the quote. Chronic sympathetic arousal will cause these stress chemicals to accumulate in your body. These stress chemicals are mostly adrenaline, noradrenaline, and cortisol.
So, yes.
So let's get in a little more detail about that particular quote.
Okay, so I talk a bit in the book about the body, the physicality of it, and these stress chemicals actually, in a certain amount, are protective for the body, but too much, they start damaging the body, and they can damage one system at a time eventually. In a lot of people with fibromyalgia, stress, as I said, is very important, and when you perceive a danger, these stress chemicals are very connected to the amygdala, and it communicates with the pituitary, and they release these hormones with the fight and flight response, the nervous system that I talked about. So when you get too much of these chemicals, they do throw off the hormones of the body, and they affect the brain, and they affect how much pain you feel and sensitivity. And as I say, too much of them, they do affect the bodily systems physically eventually, and with this physically, it's eventually mentally as well.
So when you say sensitivity, explain what you mean by sensitivity.
So sensitivity, when we have these hormones react in the body, I don't know exactly because I forgot my science of it and everything, but
Maybe explain what the person with fibro is actually feeling.
Okay, well, with the cascade effect of pain, there's virtually pain in the body with the cascade of reacting to pain and perceiving stress. And what a person really feels with fibro is even pain to touch. Everything hurts. Your muscles all hurt and ache. It's due to a lot of this cortisol surging through your body. It also has to do with a lot of calcium in our environment. We have so much calcium in our environment, and it's not going to the right places. If you have enough minerals and nutrients in your body and they're getting to your gut and your gut's operating properly, then you can help minimize this pain, as you can block the pain receptors. So what happens with fibro people is they have an overactive system, a nervous system. Mm-hmm. And it's overreacting. It's damaged. And it goes throughout the whole body. Like even when I was laying down and my cat jumped on me, it shouldn't have hurt, but did it ever hurt? You know, and it's very painful for people to even hug you.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up as an example. That explains the reason why when somebody's suffering symptoms of fibromyalgia, even just to hug them lightly, they sometimes shudder.
Yeah, they do, and they tend not to hug people and touch, and a lot of them can't even walk, you know. People have canes and walkers and wheelchairs, and it's painful just to walk. And a lot of this I talk about in my book, the reasons why we do feel this pain, and the mineral that I've discovered that's in the book that helps block these pain receptors. In my book, it's how I discovered it, is I was so exhausted when I was going to write my will, and I was laying in bed full of pain, that there was a mineral that helps a bit. I took a huge dose of it, and it was like a miracle. Within hours to days, I felt no more pain. And then it was a process of improving my diet and improving my gut that I came to have more energy back. And also, this mineral gives you energy.
So, okay, I'm going to I ask this of everybody who uses diet. When you say diet, how do you mean diet?
So when I mean diet, you can put all kinds of good food in your body, but if your stomach's not functioning, like gluten really ruins the gut. And if your gut's ruined, it's not absorbing these nutrients properly. It's got mm-hmm. little microvilli, which are like little fingers protruding up, and they are like big surface area for you to absorb all these nutrients. If they're flattened by gluten and not operating, it doesn't matter how good you're eating, your body's not receiving it. So with diet, you have to remove quite a bit of gluten out. And I talk about the process of doing that in my book and what you can replace it with. And once you heal the gut, then a good diet is a lot of your greens, your organics. Our food has changed drastically from in the 80s and 90s when I took schooling here in agriculture. We've got a lot of GMOs now.
Yes.
And our soils and waters have changed. Our soils aren't as rich as they used to be. And we've mm-hmm. got pesticide usage, and in pesticides there's a lot of calcium. We're getting too much calcium in our bodies, and I talk about the ischemia possibly causing some of the pain.
Yeah.
And because our food has changed so drastically, a diet nowadays isn't like the diet your grandma used to have. It's not the same. We don't get the same nutrients. We're not getting from our soil and water what we used to, and I talk about what we need to get in our diet. I list the amounts of nutrients, and I also list a good diet, what it looks like for a person and as they heal their gut. And smoothies I believe in too. I do a smoothie nearly every day. Mm-hmm. It's got all your vitamins and nutrients in it, and actually it ties you over if you do it in the morning and you have some protein. Then a smoothie is really good to be able to get all those nutrients in your body, because all these nutrients act together. Some people just take one simple vitamin, like vitamin D. They don't realize you need other nutrients and vitamins to absorb that vitamin D.
Right. Each vitamin builds on top of the other one, so that the whole system works, right?
Yeah, they all interact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do have a quote from about diet here. I believe also the core of disease is in our diet, plus in parentheses you have plus genetic disposition, and we put it into our bodies to help it function, just like we would a machine. You rely on it to function optimally. What you put in your brain is equally as important too. And I have run across some studies that state that thinking negatively actually does have a biological impact on the body.
Yes, in a negative way, destroying it. We do have a physiological response to negative thoughts, actually. That's been discovered in research recently. So how we think is very important. And in my book, about two-thirds of it is based on fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And the other third, about 100 pages, is based on psychotherapy. So I attack a lot of these issues people deal with during depression and long-term illness. And a few of these topics, I'll give you a few examples. They are random-related topics. And they talk about thinking patterns, and there's change, sexual abuse, physical abuse, because a lot of people have experienced trauma, how we feel about others in our life, having a mate, sadness and grief, self-worth, pacing ourselves, life is a canvas, suffering, people's perceptions of others, food sensitivities, why we're such an angry nation, and we all do it, we judge, accept different, we all need Goliaths, truth, and a word about families and create love. Different psychotherapy issues that help people. It's just my intuitive instincts and insights that I've gained being the age I am, and what helped me gain my health in both my mind and body by perceiving things a certain way. And I write about them and try to help people through these topics, almost like the psychotherapy, seeing a therapist. But they're topics I hit on that a lot of people with fibro deal with.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So the idea of our thoughts and everything, so in our belief systems, actually help our bodies heal.
Yes, your mind can help your body heal. As I said, like the amygdala, it sends out hormones, so how it perceives is very important. So when you see someone enter a room, you may get nervous, you may not. Most people don't get nervous. People with fibro tend to overreact because they're on super sensitivity. So even someone walking into a room can spur on their body, but if they perceive it not as a threat, in that they've got a grasp on their mind and positive thinking, maybe this person's going to come and hand them $100, they should think positive about it rather than they're a threat. And then that in itself affects the body physically, in that it won't send out all these hormones that are damaging to the body. And you can actually, through meditation, I talk about in my book a lot, meditation's very important for everybody, that you just give your mind a break. And what you feed your mind is very important, yeah, as much as what you feed your body.
Yeah.
So they're very intimately connected, and you can actually heal your body with your mind. Cancer people will often tell you stories about that.
Yeah. You know, you come back to meditation. There is I mentioned a doctor earlier that was at one of her talks, Dr. Best. She mentioned meditation quite a bit because fibromyalgia people don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
For all the reasons you're talking about, that you have trouble turning your brain off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that she said was meditation. So how did meditation actually help you?
So I meditate every morning and every night. So every night before I go to sleep, I'm putting good thoughts in my brain for my body to digest and rest on and focus on. And in the morning as well, when I get up, I focus on what a great day it's going to be and putting these great thoughts and calming my mind into my brain as well to start the day. It's very important you try to take out at least half an hour when you go to sleep and half an hour in the morning. You can practice meditation. I suggest places like Banyan Books. You can get tapes on meditation, mm-hmm, and you can learn it. It's quite difficult to learn at first, but once you get a grasp on it, it becomes just like a habit, and you automatically do it. And it helps the mind relax. It doesn't resolve insomnia. Personally, I don't push very many drugs in my book, but I do small amounts of sleeping pills because I do feel that rest is very key to people with fibromyalgia. So that's one drug that I do push, in that it's key. You need your sleep, and however you obtain, mm-hmm, it, even if it's through sleeping pill or through natural means, you must do it to sleep and rest the body because it needs to repair.
Right. That stage, final stage of sleep, is actually where the body and mind actually heals itself.
Yes, mm-hmm, yes, in the wee hours of,
yeah,
the morning.
Yeah.
So you need at least, I would suggest, 6 to 8 hours solid sleep, at least a good 4 hours solid sleep where you have deep sleep. So, and then fibro people who do get their sleep feel a lot better. I know, yeah, when I don't get my sleep, I feel horrible.
Yeah. So sleep, it also leads me into one of the next quotes from off of page 83 in your book about depression. People need to talk about depression like they do cancer. And the reason why I bring this quote up is because depressed people are also sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm.
And depression and fibro kind of go together.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. So as the quote goes, we need to talk about depression like we do cancer and now AIDS, open and honestly. And we may find we are not alone, and it this in of itself gives much needed comfort and support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only part of the quote.
Yeah.
It's a little bit there.
Yeah, so people don't talk too much about depression, and when they talk about fibro, they won't touch on the depression too often. I have a section on there called Stigma Sucks. Invisible disabilities are very tricky to deal with, as people can't see it, so they don't believe it. And depression is really difficult with fibro. I don't know how many people actually end up losing their lives over it, but it must be a certain segment. The depression has to be well managed. And I talk in my book about, should you be on antidepressants? There's a big push for antidepressants when you're depressed. And it is a big push, sometimes unnecessarily. In my book, I talk about natural things to do. One of the key things is exercise and omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few other things that I talk about. So you can do it naturally to overcome the depression.
Yeah.
Also, when we're depressed, we tend to think negatively. And we get angry, and anger is very bad for the body. It can destroy the body physically if you're angry.
Yeah.
So anger is really bad. So is low self-esteem, which can come with depression. And self-pity can come with depression, too. And you certainly can't be pitiful and powerful at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to get over all these issues. And depression, unfortunately, a lot of people with fibro do turn to the antidepressants. Are they helping? I don't know. But there's certainly other methods that are better with lower side effects. And people do have to be open and honest about talking about depression nowadays, how it feels, what one goes through, you know?
Well, I've dealt with depression myself, and that pill is just one tool.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so everybody, you have to find all the other tools to go along with dealing with that so that you can get around the depression itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you that it's going to help some, but it's only one tool. We got to find all the rest of the tools that help make the whole mind and body come together, right?
Yeah. Depression's actually huge. I think it affects 3 out of 5 people. It's really big, and the drug companies know that. And, you know, I kind of knock the drug companies in my book. They're a multi-billion-dollar industry, and antidepressants may work for some, but not for all. And there's certainly other methods and tools that you talk about that you can find. And by openly talking to each other about it, we can share tools that work.
Yeah.
And hey, that worked for you. Hey, I'm going to try that. And it's almost, depression's almost a mind over matter. It's a dark, deep place where you slip into, but you know, all you have to do is make that phone call and reach out and call somebody, talk to somebody. There's always somebody to help. And what I commonly do when I feel depressed and have down days is I just go to bed early. I call it a day, go to bed at about 7 p.m. and I wake up and it's a brand new day, and that always works for me.
Yeah. I guess we have to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
This is Community Living Show, and we got some announcements from the Red Gem Slam.
Tune in to the Red Gem Slam Radio Festival in celebration of Aboriginal Week from June the 17th to June the 21st. The festival will be broadcast across Canada on 7 different stations.
Tune in to
www.ckdu.ca or at 88.1 FM in Halifax, Nova Scotia. www.chuo.ca or at 89.1 FM in Ottawa, Ontario.
www.ckuw.ca or at 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
www.ckxu.ca or at 88.3 FM in Lethbridge, Alberta.
And in Vancouver, British Columbia, tune in to
www.cjsf.ca or at 90.1 FM.
www.coopradio.org or at 100.5 FM.
And www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM.
This year, listen live from 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from June the 17th to the 21st. Check out redjamslam.com.
Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&D or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in the moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the Late Night Show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by me, DJ Ray, and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at citr.ca. Yes, and of course, you just heard the Red Jam Slam. That's just happening tonight, or not tonight, today from 1 to 5 p.m. And it's also rebroadcasting. It's also live tomorrow afternoons from 1 to 5. That means we're only doing our community living show right now until another 15 minutes or so. And that'll be it. So Yeah, but do tune in to the Red Jam Slam, because they got some great special guests on as well. And Michael, you're also going to be helping out as well, am I right?
I'll be volunteering tomorrow with the Red Jam Slam, yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
So do tune into that. Yeah. So.
And next week's half-hour show, we'll have our friends from Kudos come back.
Kudos.
Yeah. They have another guest for us to...
Hopefully it's a quickie one, because we only do it for half an hour. So.
Yeah, it'll be a half hour. Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. So back to our guest.
To Gemma. We're kind of talking off-air about the effects between our gut and our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that, because I do some business consultants and everything, is like, once I tell people when they go into a business deal, if their tummy feels off, the deal's probably not for them. Maybe they should rethink it, sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
When we were also, so what is the real connection between, can you explain that more, the connection between the gut and the brain?
Yeah, they're finding that it's very important. It's like the second brain. They're finding there's a nerve, like a major nerve and artery that connects the brain to the gut. So that's why when you get a gut feeling, it's kind of connected to the brain. They're very intimately involved, and they send signals back and forth all the time. And you think of it, the gut's probably the number one brain. Maybe the one on our head is number two, actually. So the serotonin that's produced in the gut is very important for the brain as well. We always thought serotonin was produced in the brain, but actually 90% of our serotonin is produced in the gut. And they're finding now in studies that serotonin is not the primary source or thing to do with depression, but I'm not sure about that. I think serotonin still plays a role, and they've just found that the gut is really related to brain health, as far as especially depression.
Yeah. So we also mentioned earlier that if our tummy isn't working correctly, you mentioned like the glutens and things like that blocking off what our tummy is supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
How does that, then that would have an effect on our brain, wouldn't it?
If our tummy's not working, our brain's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means the rest of our central nervous system is off kilter.
It's the circle of the body as well. If your stomach's not working, your heart's not working, your brain's connecting to the brain is not working, so your whole cycle system isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mind and physical thing. We're all working together.
Mm-hmm.
And all the systems actually do work together like a team.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if I can just continue this quote off page 83, paragraph 3 on depression.
Okay, yeah.
People who overcome mental challenges and obstacles should be celebrated, as there are so few quick fixes and solutions. Often the journey is long and solutions largely unknown. So much to still learn about the brain, and research still has a long way to go. If we put as much resources into mental health as we do things like cancer, there would be more hope for many people, and this could lead to better health and societal contribution. I think depression really holds us back as a society, and we can do a lot more for it. And we have gotten a lot sedentary, and exercise is major for depression, so that's part of it as well as our diet.
Yeah. Well, as somebody once said to me, that because we are, 70 to 80% water,
mm-hmm.
that we're supposed to remain...
Turn your phone off.
Fluid. I just did. I turned it off and it flicked it, somehow flicked itself back on again. that because and water wants to stay in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be just sitting behind a computer.
Right.
Or playing that video game, that we should be up.
Yeah.
Running, jumping, and playing.
Yeah.
And it helps us.
Yeah. And what exercise really does is it's like running the oil in your car. When you run your car, the oil runs through its system and cleans everything out. It's the same with the blood. When you circulate the blood, like a cardio workout, that's circulating the blood and it's picking up all the junk in your system and getting it out of your body. And it's also dropping off the good nutrients and what your body needs. So it's like, when you go for a run, it's like running the oil through your car, and it's what bodies really need. And you need to get that blood circulating up through the brain as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, we are mainly water. And what we have to remember about the brain is that it's a lot of oil in our brain. Like, it's like a gel mass. Mm-hmm. And that's where omega-3s really help.
Yeah. I know for myself that that when I get that fog in my brain, is like I go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe walk about a mile or so and then come back to it again. And it's like I have fresh new ideas. It's like something magical about getting up and doing some exercise.
Yeah, it's like energy creates energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cycle. Yeah, and it's good. And the unfortunate thing about people with fibromyalgia is they can't really do a lot of these things. They can't go for a walk and they can't get up and do a cardio workout because it injures them. What happens when you do a cardio workout is you get adrenaline surging through your body, and this is actually detrimental to people with fibro. What helps them for exercise, though, is things like yoga. It's very grounding, and it's good for exercise and strengthening muscles. And they can also do weight training. But once you clean up your gut and your diet and whatnot and take these minerals you're missing, you can eventually get to exercise, and that exercise will no longer be detrimental to you, but it'll be helpful.
So,
go on. I'm just doing something else.
Page 200.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you read the quote. I'm just going to start here. Life is a canvas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Life is a blank canvas. This is in some of the psychotherapy stuff, the last 100 pages, and I talk about perspectives and stuff. Life is a blank canvas where we all paint our own destiny. We often have choices, what colors to make and how it will look and how others will see it. Some people use broad strokes and bright colors, and some are more subtle and subdued and perhaps even boring. However, you live or paint your future as it is your own, original and individual. No one's looks the same, and sometimes we even paint over it several times to get it right or due to change.
What does all that mean to you?
So what it means is that we create the life we want to have. It's like having a blank canvas in life, and we create where we want to be, say, 10 years from now. So it's choices we make, decisions we make, what we do about our health, how we get better. Do we want to paint a pretty picture for people, or do we want to live in self-pity and depression and paint an ugly picture which no one will want to look at and no one will respect? You know, you want to paint your life accordingly, where people are impressed, where they, you know, it takes their breath away and that they admire you. And, you know, it's just like attacking a canvas with broad strokes and different colors. You, by choices, you can build a life that you love and that you can show others, like building a garden.
Yeah.
You know? So we can make all these choices in our mind of where we're going to be 5-10 years from now and start taking the right steps in that direction. And the thing I find about fibro people, a lot of them don't want help. And what I tell you today is reach out, especially the men who are kind of neglected in fibro. Fibro is seen as a woman's illness. And I talk about in the book why so many more women get it. It's mainly hormonal, but I talk about that and the adrenals. But men can't be, you know, neglected in this illness, and people have to reach out and really want to help themselves. And my book is so simple, just to purchase. It's an easy read, and it's only $26.95. It's going to be $20 at my book launch in a week. The first 10 people to arrive get a free book. You know, it's $20 is nothing for renewing your life and getting somebody's hard-earned perspective on how they got better and that you mm-hmm. can too, and holding that optimism and painting that beautiful picture you want.
So you're painting that beautiful picture, and the book is one of those brushes.
One of those broad strokes I use. Yeah, I just want to help people, and I'm passionate about helping people, and I'm so proud of this book. Everything's me, the book cover and everything. It's my art. I'm an artist. I'm a cardiac tech. I love to help people. And I do many things in life. I do a lot of volunteer, and, you know, I support things like Riverview as well, people with mental illness, and I fight for them. I'm a fighter. I'm determined. I'm a problem solver, and I'm very proud of my book, and it's just one of very many that I'll write in my life, and hopefully I'll have a bigger canvas to paint on.
Well, the more we inspire people, the broader our canvas becomes, right?
Yes, and can I just say a few quotes here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Judging a person does not define who they are. It defines who you are. So that, in a sense, is when you're judging somebody, it doesn't say so much about who that person is, but more about you yourself, what you think of them, and mm-hmm. who you are as a person. And there's another quote, you can't be angry and thankful at the same time. The brain just cannot handle it. It thinks one or the other, either angry or thankful. So whenever you think you're angry, just be thankful and it'll dissipate. And then lastly, with fibromyalgia people, I have this last quote. We can get so comfortable with pain, we get stuck in suffering. We don't have to. So, you know, Michael, we don't have to get stuck in the suffering. We can get better. There is hope, and it's one step at a time. If you get my book, you'll feel better within weeks. Within about 6 months, a lot should be resolved. You should be better. You should be back to life, working, enjoying life, golfing, hiking, swimming, just being back to yourself. And my book is key to that, and it's just solid information. I'm not selling any products. So I'm hoping people do, you know, indulge and get my book. I'm a Canadian author as well.
And remember, if you do want the internet in the contest, email us at communitylivingradio@gmail.com. I just double checking to see if we have a winner yet in our box right now. So it sounds like you're having a very interesting and very colorful life. Mm-hmm. So I love that quote. It's just awesome that that you would say that, considering what your life looks like.
Yeah. Life is a canvas, you mean?
Yeah. Life is a canvas.
Yeah, well, I'm a painter, so it came to me naturally to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think thoughts are feelings and feelings are energy. And by our thoughts, we create our realities. We can't forget that. What we think, we will produce realistically and in reality.
Yeah. So existentialism is kind of true in that one, huh?
What's that?
Existentialism is very true about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me today and reaching out to people. So also, our music's going to be Adrian and the Flights at the, they're soft music, so it won't be hard for people to listen to. And we'll be having our book launch in a week from now.
So it'll be June 25th.
Yeah, right? And you can go to fibrosuccess.com, my website, to find out all the details.
Mm-hmm. There is actually a RSVP button right on your website, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom of it, I think it is.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Scroll down a little bit, you'll find it.
Yeah, and then we'll enter you to win a free book. I'm going to give away at least about 10 of them on my website.
Yeah, so. And so far, I've read a couple pages from your press release, and it looks really interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely worth picking up.
Yeah.
It, even if you don't have fibromyalgia, it may actually be, some of the insights may actually be worthwhile.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, it's kind of exciting. I'm going to take half the book and make it its own book on long-term illness and depression for the masses of people.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I'll probably put that press release on my website as well for people to see what you've seen.
Yeah. There's a lot of long-term illnesses out there. So, yeah.
Well, I would like to say thank you very much again for coming to our show.
Thank you very much. The only week show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Anyways, and just to let listeners know that not this weekend, but the following weekend, we're doing our Switch Open on June 27th. So the old facility will be gone and the new facility will be across the hallway from here. Just go outside and go to the new facility. I went to the new facility. It was pretty interesting to see the new area that is, you know, exploring, exploring everything. So if you go have time to yourself, you can have a look at the new building and everything of where the new CITR building is going to be looking.
It's right across the...
Across the way, yes.
Oh, cool.
Exactly. So that's the following weekend. There's also going to be a party and a switch from 1 to 5 p.m. as well. And, of course, the Red Gem Slam today from 1 to 5. And, of course, tomorrow from 1 to 5. And Michael's going to help out. And possibly I'm going to help out, too. So I'm thinking of heading over there anyways right after this. So I'm heading over to Hastings Street where they're going to be doing their broadcast. So
yes.
Anyways, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're off.
So how is that, okay, guys?
That's great.
I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't mention what I'm talking about, like 18 million people.
There was a time in this fair land when the railroad did not run. When the wild, majestic mountains stood alone against the sun. Long before the white man and long before the wheel. When the green, dark forest was too silent to be real. But time has no beginnings and the history has no bounds. As to this verdant country they came from all around. They sailed upon her waterways and they walked the forest tall. Built the mines, mills, and the factories for the good of us all. And when the young man's fancy was turning to the spring, the railroad men grew restless for to hear the hammers ring. Their minds were overflowing with the visions of their day. And many a fortune lost and won, and many a debt to pay.